ABC.
It's a commitment to news. Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. Saturdays and Sundays at 1, don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving. Having a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger. Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Saturdays and Sundays at 1 on the Civic Media Network and on the Civic Media app.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. State Attorney General Josh Call is joining a federal lawsuit to sue the social media company Meta. Call joins attorneys general from 42 other states in the lawsuit. The coalition alleges that Meta knowingly designed and launched addictive features on Instagram and Facebook. They say that the social media platforms help fuel a youth mental health crisis across the nation. The coalition says they are also investigating the social media app TikTok for similar reasons. A joint committee of the Wisconsin Assembly and Senate held a hearing on a number of amendments to the state constitution Tuesday that cover voting. One of them would add a voter photo ID requirement to the document. Most voters already have to show a photo ID to vote in Wisconsin. Another proposed amendment would ban the use of private money or equipment to administer elections. Two of the amendments, if passed by the legislature, would go before voters during next year's elections. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
The Packers placed two players on injured reserve. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers were back at practice after their 19-17 loss to the Broncos in Denver, but several players were missing. Head coach Matt LaFleur.
So Aaron Jones, Josh Myers, Luke Musgrave, Darnell Savage, and Eric Stokes did not practice. Then limited were Jair Alexander, Drake Campbell, Elton Jenkins, Yosh, Devontae Wyatt.
LaFleur says Jones is still sore from Sunday's game. Defensive back Eric Stokes, after missing the past year with a foot and knee injury, is back on IR with a hamstring, and safety Darnell Savage has been moved to the injured reserve after re-aggravating a calf muscle. Backup Jonathan Owens is expected to start at safety Sunday against the Vikings.
Football, it's all the same, you know what I mean? It's just you have to get comfortable within the different schemes, but it just comes down to reacting and playing fast, you know, and knowing what to do. I'm just ready.
Baseball, Craig Counsell is headed to New York for a job interview. The Brewers granting permission to allow the New York Mets to interview Counsell to become their next manager. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Disabled or an elderly Medicare beneficiary with questions about Part D prescription benefits? The Disability Rights Wisconsin Medicare Part D helpline is here for you. Ask about saving.
Here's your updated forecast. Scattered thunderstorms likely tonight, otherwise cloudy. Lows around 51, winds out of the east, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Scattered rain showers likely tomorrow, high of 59. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air WLAK, 1260 AM. Right now, 51.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. Connecting with you on air, online, and on the Civic Media app. This is Lake Air 1260 AM, WLAK, Amory's radio station.
Ron DeSantis is not going out of his way to let his own constituents know about it.
Doesn't appear to be so.
Well, that's what being a climate denier is all about. For much more on all of these stories and the ones we couldn't get to today, check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. Find, follow, and share us planet-wide on the Facebooks, Mastodons, and sites still known as Twitter. At Green News Report.
Are you tired
of think tank approved corporate news and commentary? Are you tired of CEOs telling you what to think, who to hate, and who to vote for? Well, welcome to the Rick Smith Show. We don't take orders from some boardroom, and we don't do focus groups or talking points. We don't work for them, and we never will. I'm Rick Smith, and I work for you. Join us daily at thericksmithshow.com and download the podcast and never miss a minute.
It's time for the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is the voice of the working class, Rick Smith.
And welcome, brothers, sisters, working class heroes. This is the Rick Smith Show. Thanks so much for being here today on the big program. Lots to get to, lots to talk about. Hey, got a speaker. Got a speaker, crazy guy, but got a speaker. What's the phrase they've been using? Jim Jordan in a sports coat? Yeah, got a speaker. We'll get into all the craziness that around the speaker, but the big news of right now, the big news of this moment, the UAW and Ford have come to a tentative agreement. That means that the workers at Ford will be going back to work. And look, man, what an agreement it looks like they got. According to the press release that I saw, since the strike began, Ford put more than 50% more than what they were initially offering on the table than when this whole thing started. What the UAW is saying is this agreement sets up a new path to make things right at Ford, at the Big Three, and across the auto industry. They say, together we are turning the tide for the working class in this country, and it is about time. Now, from what I see from the agreement, base pay increase of 25%. That will go through April of 2028. The top wage will raise over 30% to more than $40 an hour. The starting wage will go up by 68% to over $28 an hour. This is returning this job to the almost the gold standard of working class jobs. They said that the lowest paid workers at Ford are going to see a raise of more than 150% over the life of this agreement. That enormous. And some of the workers are going to receive immediately an 85% increase when it is ratified. Now, look, they got a lot of the stuff back that they gave up, you know, because of the Great Recession. They got cost of living adjustment back. They got a 3-year wage progression instead of, like, I think it was like 8. They also, and this is huge, this is enormous, they killed the multi-tier wage system. Done. That is fantastic. Some improvements to retirement security. That is fabulous. They got the right to strike over plant closures. That's a first for the union. This a big, where's Joe Biden when I need him? This is a big freaking deal. Where's that? Now the strike will continue at Stellantis and GM, but here's the thing. When one goes, generally the others follow, called pattern bargaining. So maybe we're going to start to see potentially GM and Stellantis come around, and maybe there's light at the end of the tunnel if this whole thing ends. And look, this is, again, big freaking deal. And as I keep saying, strikes work when done right, when funded, when you have a clear message, strikes work. Now, of course, all of the economic people losing their minds. Moody's Investor Service, they did a study earlier in the month. They said, you know, if they give raises and they do all the things, you know, it could cost Stellantis a $1.1 billion. It could cost GM $1.2 billion. It could cost Ford $1.4 billion in the fourth year of the contract. This could be horrible. And I'm reading this, I'm going, yeah, it could cost them that kind of money. But understand, their GM's net profit last year, net profit, this is what they put in their pocket after everything else, was over $11 billion. Stellantis, their net profit was over almost $18 billion. Ford's was $7.6 billion. So again, you know, you're talking at Stellantis, what, $1.1 billion on $17.8 billion? I don't know that that's enough, really. I know, you want it all, Rick. No, I want a fair, equitable distribution of the wealth that these workers, labor creates, and all workers. We've been talking about this for days now. I mean, it's gotten to the point where the wealth class, they expect to take all the cookies off the plate and leave you with none. They expect to fill their pockets, to line their coffers, however you want to frame it. They expect to have it all. And then just the minimum of what it's going to take to get you in the door. And like I talked about on the show yesterday with the gas station worker, the reality is people have had enough. People are saying we demand better. We demand more. We demand to be able to support our families and keep a roof over our head. And look, while all of the craziness in Congress that's been going on over the last 3 weeks has been happening, families are still struggling. And look, this new guy that they've elected, he's going to be no help for working families whatsoever. So this is the direction of empowered workers have to take, because there's no help coming out of Congress, especially with this new speaker that they've got. Now, here's the weird thing, because as I've said, you've got these billionaires, you've got these rich people who are, they want things the way it used to be. They want the good old days, you know, where they didn't have to share these massive amounts of profit. They want the good old days where they could just, you know, line their pocket without question. And I look at this billionaire, this CEO, this Steven Schwarzman. Steven, he's going on about people working from home. And this is one of those things, because they really want control back. They really want the pre-pandemic world where they had all the control, all the power. And we were just happy to have jobs. We were just happy to be around, just happy to, just glad we can, stay poor. But this is what Steven Schwarzman had to say. And I got to tell you, it's another one of those moments where you go, CEOs just being CEOs and saying what they're saying. And, you and me be damned. Here's Steven Schwarzman.
People got used to, staying at home. And it was actually more profitable for them to stay at home because, one, they didn't work as hard, regardless of what they tell you. And the second is they don't spend money to commute. They can make their lunch at home. They don't have to buy expensive clothes. And so their incomes are higher. One or two quick statistics. In the U.S., in the office market, buildings are 20% vacant. Unleased. Actually, there's another 20% that somebody's leased, but the people don't come in. So you're looking at office buildings that basically are 40% unused. So I expect when those leases roll off, the companies will cut back the amount of space. So say you have 30% unused space in office buildings, that means those office buildings are not survivable, as economic entities.
Just not survivable. And here's the thing, my first thought on this, I got to tell you, I got to wonder if Steve's got some real estate issues. I got to wonder how deep Steve's money is into office buildings, because that seemed to be the mass of his concern. Got to get those people back to work so we can charge rent. And we could line our pockets. But here's the thing that gets me. They didn't work as hard as they normally would, even though, the data is out there. People worked hard. People did the work that they were supposed to do, which is how these companies are making wild profit. Again, it's maddening. And the fact that workers were able to save a little bit of money by not having to commute, by not having to buy, you know, expensive new clothes to keep up with the, you know, the office politics, that they didn't have to buy lunches, they didn't have to do all this stuff, that they were able to, oh, I don't know, make their home life better, have better life-work balance, somehow that, oh no, that can't be had. That's bad for working people. And it's this kind of self-interest, because you know what? You got 20% of the offices that are vacant and 20% where no one shows up. That means that people like him, they could be, I'm not going to say hurting, because the guy's a billionaire. You know, what is hurting? He's only a 900 millionaire. This is one of those moments where I look at this and I go, you know, whose interest is he really looking out for? And is it in the good of the company or is it the good of his personal pocketbook? Because a lot of the things that I've been reading about people working from home, people are actually happier. Workers are actually happier, are staying with jobs longer and are actually, like it or not, believe it or not, more productive because guess what? They're happy. And here's the thing, they don't miss as much work because they're already home. I'm not making this up. The data supports all of this. But again, you got folks like this who are worried about what's town center going to look like with no one showing up to these office buildings. I got a pretty good idea what to do with those office buildings. We could convert them into housing for homeless people. If we really wanted to think outside the box and really do something that helps, we could do some of that. Yeah. So good day today. Good for the UAW. I'm hoping the other two, Stellantis and GM, come around. But that's a big thing. I'm still amazed at you know, the Republicans actually did vote for a speaker, and we'll be talking about him real soon. I want to hear your thoughts. Email me, rick@thericksmithshow.com. I'm going to take a quick break. Right back after this. Stick around. You listen to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk.
We are AFGE, the American Federation of Government Employees. We represent 700,000 federal and D.C. government workers who are the vital threads of the fabric of American life. We support our nation's military. We take care of our nation's veterans. We protect our nation's borders. We respond to our nation's crises and natural disasters. We provide services to our nation's seniors, the American Federation of Government Employees. We work for America.
The phone lines are open. Give Rick a call at 1-866-416-RICK. That's 1-866-416-7425.
Welcome back to The Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So Mike Johnson, Republican from Louisiana, going to be the new speaker. And look, as the comments have been, Jim Jordan in a sports coat, basically a election denier. Yeah, there's a whole bunch of stuff, election denier, anti-abortionist, has a zero rating with the AFL-CIO on all labor bills. Climate skeptic, anti-LGBT, lunatic. We could go down the somebody who wants to slash Social Security and Medicare. And my favorite is, if only those women would bring able-bodied workers into the world, we wouldn't have Social Security problems. That's what the guy said. If we just had more cheap labor, if we could only force more poor women to have more poor children, we can exploit their labor, and that would be awesome. A la Tom DeLay, Newt Gingrich. Again, Republicans have been saying this for a very, very long time. Nothing new, but I do find it interesting that he is now the speaker. And guess what? He's going to be everything that Democrats want him to be, because he's everything that the general public despises about the GOP. It's going to be interesting to see where this goes. Let's go to the phones. Got Steve on line one. Steve, how are you?
Yes, I'm fine. And I think it's a really interesting point you raise with regard to, you know, the attitudes that many people at the top of the food chain in our economy have, because I think that they're sort of having to reconcile the sort of very tight job market with what they want. I mean, they want their workers to be under their thumb. And they know full well that if they have interest in things like, as you alluded to, commercial real estate, you know, we need to get the message out there. You know, we need to have people back in the workplace. You know, it's not that we're being more productive if that's happening. No, it's that the interest I have in commercial real estate is more valuable. And a lot of people are going to lose a lot of money in the years to come because, no, commercial real estate isn't going to come back, not to the degree that it was going to prior to COVID. You know, COVID accelerated what was already a trend, but it took it to the level of being on steroids. I mean, we're a country that simply has moved on. The age of computers and high speed internet has made it possible to have virtual meetings. You don't have to get on an airplane. You don't have to go into the office, at least not every day. And a lot of people, because of a tight job market, have opted to stay at home. Yeah. As you pointed out, okay, that has a ripple effect. You know, when I got out of college, I went straight to Brooks Brothers and bought two suits. Brooks Brothers didn't make stylish suits that you want to wear out to a club on a Saturday night. They made suits that you wore to Anderson Brothers, you know, and that sort of thing, you know, Arthur Anderson, rather. You know, IBM. It's the kind of stuff that your dad or your granddad wore if they had a college diploma and they went into that kind of job in the 1950s or 60s, you know, the Don Draper look. You know, you had to have it. But, okay, you no longer have to go into work, or if you do have to go into work, it's casual. So nobody's shopping at these places. And yes, office space is going empty compared to where it was 5 years ago, 10 years ago. Okay, we've been here before. What people recognize as lofts when they watch movies and television shows, lofts were converted factories in New York and Chicago and other places. You know, that they used to produce all sorts of things, and then rather than tearing them down, somebody came up with the bright idea to turn them into apartments and condos. And then now all of a sudden we're actually building things to look like lofts. But the original loft was something that used to actually, you know, serve as a factory. Well, guess what? We will repurpose this stuff. One thing that, you know, history for the last 5,000 years has taught us is that people like living in cities. We don't want to flock to live in rural areas unless civilization falls apart. That's the only time people leave cities. And so this idea that, you know, that was forwarded back in the 60s and 70s, that, you know, people will entirely leave cities and it will be the end of that sort of life and we'll all live in suburbia. No, it didn't happen. And it's not going to happen again this time. You know, young people do not want to graduate from college and then go and live out in suburban heaven, you know, where basically everybody's married and has kids. They, you know, some of them actually want to spend that time between their 21 and, say, early 30s, mid-30s, going out, meeting people, dating, you know, not hanging around at lawn parties and PTA meetings. So, yeah, people aren't going anywhere, but, you know, all of these people at the top want to convince you that somehow that our economy is going to fall apart unless things go back to the way that they were.
Yeah.
And by that, they mean controlling workers. But people have no intention of going back to that. The thing that COVID did for us, among other things, it sort of made us more like Europeans. Western Europeans think we're crazy. They think that, you know, we basically live to work in America. You know, we have a lot of material things that they don't. But the way that they live, they have a great work-life balance. And coming out of COVID, a lot of people in this country said, hey, you know what? I mean, one of us doesn't have to go in to work. You know, let's let them stay home with the kids because that's better. We'll make a little bit less money. Or we'll work. Somebody can work a part-time job, and I'll work a full-time job, that kind of thing. But this idea that, you know, that used to exist in terms of the 1980s and 90s, you know, when we surpassed Japan in terms of the number of hours, the average hours that Americans work, we work more than anybody else in the developed world, and we need to ask ourselves why is that? And part of it is because of that whole Protestant ethic, the idea that has been ingrained in Americans' minds. You've got to work, 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 work. That's the only thing that matters. And then you can buy the nicer car, the nicer home. You can have the nicer thing, and that will make you happy. Turns out material things don't make you happy. You look back and you say to yourself, I spent my whole life working. I didn't have time to go to my kids' baseball games. I missed birthdays. I missed anniversaries. All to do what? So that we bought a 6,000 square foot home instead of a 3,500 square foot home. That made us happier. No, Europeans found out that that doesn't make you happy. We haven't found it out yet, but we're starting to.
We're heading there. No, and look, if these people are so smart, they'll figure out how to repurpose all that stuff. I've got an idea. You know, we can convert those office buildings into housing for homeless people, put some wraparound services in there. We could solve the homeless problem. I got a lot of good ideas of what we could do with those office buildings, but we'll see. Steve, I appreciate the thoughts, man.
Thank you.
Let's go to Alice on line two. Alice, what's on your mind this fine day?
On my mind? Let me see. Well, for one thing, I find it highly ironic that the Republicans, of course, once more pulled a fast one and put in their, let's just call it like it is, this white cracker from the Deep South. And yes, people, I said that, so go ahead and you can say that I'm a racist or whatever you want. I don't care. That's what he is.
All right. I was going to go with Christo-fascist, but okay, you've got your name. I'll stick with mine. Go ahead. What else has got you?
Well, you just sat there and go, really? You had someone that was, they get worse. They get worse and sneakier, you know, slyer. And I'm going, and we're supposed to accomplish what? Because the only thing that they could agree on after however many weeks is to put this whack job in there. But they can't do anything else. And yet he says he doesn't want to work with Democrats. And I'm thinking, you do realize this is like a two-party system here. But apparently ignorance is in the air lately. I was talking to my cousin. She lives out in Seattle, Washington. This is the one who does the family research. And we were talking. She had sent an email and then followed that up with a phone call to our local historical society. And as usual, they did not know where anything about anything that she was asking about or where it was at. And we were talking. And the reason why, of course, that nobody knows anything is the person that they have running the Historical Society is a Trump Republican. And I will say that about him because he is a distant cousin of mine. He has never been trained as an archivist. He's never been trained in any historical preservation manner. And he doesn't even have a college degree. But this is our Republicans nowadays. They don't care what they destroy as long as they get their way. And yes, I'm in the mood. I just had a run in with Amazon after an hour and a half.
I don't want to get into that. That's another day, it's another whole show right there. Appreciate
the
thoughts,
Alice.
I'm
saying. I don't want to get into it. But I'll talk to you later, Rick. You have a good evening.
Thank you so much. Here's my favorite quote of the day. We're going to go right to this. Matt Gaetz says, if you don't think that moving from Kevin McCarthy to MAGA Mike Johnson shows an ascendance of this movement and where the power in the Republican Party truly lies, then you're not paying attention. And he's right. The power in the Republican Party is in crazy because these people are willing...
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
ABC News, I'm Andy Field. Fourth time was the charm for House Republicans who have elected Mike Johnson as Speaker today.
He is a grassroots conservative, and the Republican Party, the House of Representatives, and American people are better off for having him ascend to the position of leadership.
Virginia Congressman Bob Good, UN Agency for Palestinian Refugees warning it's on the verge of running out of fuel in Gaza. They're sharply cutting back relief operations, including at hospitals. Former President Trump hit with another $10,000 fine for violating the gag order in his New York civil fraud trial for a statement he made outside the courtroom about the judge's law clerk. Mr. Trump says the comment was about his former fixer, Michael Cohen, a witness in the case. What's now Tropical Storm Otis is officially the strongest hurricane to hit Mexico's Pacific coast. It slammed Acapulco this morning. Ukrainian President Zelensky says a Russian drone attack last night likely targeted one of the country's nuclear power stations. This is ABC News.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. State wildlife officials unanimously approved a new wolf management plan for Wisconsin on Wednesday. The new plan does not include specific population goals for the entire state. Instead, the plan recommends a population of around 1,000 animals, but allows for more flexibility in certain areas of the state. While conservation groups applauded the new plan, farmers and hunters worry that the plan will allow too many wolves to prey on livestock and deer in northern Wisconsin. There's a new member of the Wisconsin Elections Commission. Governor Evers is tapping longtime Eau Claire City employee Carrie Ripel. She served in the city clerk and human resources offices since 2011. Ripel says she'll be able to provide an expert's opinion in the role. She'll keep her job in Eau Claire while making regular trips to Madison. Her appointment is subject to state Senate approval. I'm Nate Wegehout. This is Civic Media News.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station.
Here's your updated forecast. Scattered thunderstorms likely tonight, otherwise cloudy. Lows around 51, winds out of the east, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Scattered rain showers likely tomorrow, high of 59. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air WLAK, 1260 AM, right now 51.
Exergen thermometers are the smart choice when selecting your thermometer because accuracy matters. Exergen thermometers are fast, non-invasive, and clinically accurate for medical and home use. Find Exergen thermometers at Walgreens and other participating retailers. Learn more at Exergen.com.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories.
Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
From the Mississippi to the Apple and points eastward, you're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
The money muscle was recently exercised at a closed meeting of GOP sugar daddies in Utah. Ron DeSantis, Nikki Haley, Chris Christie, and other presidential wannabes were on display, pleading with the donors to choose them as the party's alternative to Donald Trump and to shoo the other Republican contenders out of the race. Haley bluntly appealed to the rich clique's plutocratic ego. Quote, "I think it's up to the donors to decide which candidates should get off the stage." Christie went a step further toward plutocratic rule, asking the elite attendees to decide who would be, quote, "the best president." This is Jim Hightower saying, no one in the room bothered asking the obvious question, best for whom? Everyone knew he meant best for the rich. No need for messy elections. Let the billionaires choose.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So, the new GOP Speaker of the House, third-term guy, the relative newbie, going to be the leader of the Republican Party, doesn't really have much in the way of fundraising, which is good. This means that, you know, the Republicans will be handcuffed. But here's a guy who said, hey, we could just get those poor people that pump out more kids. We could have a lot more cheap labor. And, you know, we could maybe save that little Social Security and Medicare thing for you if we just had more cheap labor. I'm not making this up. That's this guy's opinion. And look, this has been the Republican Party's opinion for a very long time. Tom DeLay said it a decade or two ago. This is not new, but this guy's now Speaker. So I'm interested to see where this is going to take us. And here to share some thoughts on the new speaker and what this could mean for Social Security, I've asked our good friend Alex Lawson to come talk with us. Alex is the executive director of Social Security Works. SocialSecurityWorks.org is their website. Alex, thanks for taking time for us.
Of course, anytime. And it is a weird time, that's for sure. You weren't lying. That's literally what he said in committee. He's like, if we could just force people to have babies, then Republicans wouldn't be forced to cut Social Security in so many words. I mean, that, and you're also right that that is their position. It's like he, you can set up more if you want, Rick, but this guy, Mike Johnson, you know, he's a backbencher in the truest sense of the word. So if you're looking at like what happened is the speaker, the speaker is in line for the president, right? Like, yep. President, vice president, speaker. This is somebody who is the pinnacle of a House career. And the House is extraordinarily hierarchical. So they go, they work on committees, they go up to a committee chair, and they keep going up. They couldn't get any of the people who, quote unquote, should, right? Any of their actual leaders, they couldn't get that person into the speaker chair because they just had so much animosity because they've been knifing each other back and forth for, you know, however many weeks it's been.
Three.
And for 22 days. And this guy is a cipher, but not really. He's a puppet. He's clearly not able. He did not unify the caucus by the sheer force of his personality, Rick. He actually was the absolute break glass in case of a huge emergency and put a suit in place. And somebody else's, you can actually see it in the press conference. You can see Scalise over his shoulder, Scalise who could not get the votes to become speaker. And he just tells him what to do. And he's talking directly to him. He's not saying it to the press. But Mike Johnson is to be a backbencher from Louisiana, you know, like a Republican in a safe district like that, super easy. All he has to do is say literally the craziest stuff that it is in, you know, their worldview. And he just rises higher and higher. And he's a very rich man, multimillionaire, and he's backed by the fathomless wealth of the hard right Christian nationalist part of the Republican Party, like the money behind overturning Roe v. Wade. That's who he is. And, you know, the truth is that the real story is that you had all of those so-called moderate Republicans take their mask right off and be like, oh yeah, we're extremists. This is our leader. This guy right here is our leader. This guy who wants to criminalize being gay in this country. This guy who wants to force women to have babies so that there's a supply of cheap labor. This guy who's dead set on destroying Social Security and Medicare. And Rick, I know you know this, but I'll just mention it for your listeners, who I bet also know this because we pay attention. That's how he introduced himself to the world, saying, and we're going to have this commission that's going to cut Social Security and Medicare. That's their goal. That's what they're doing. And I will say it is a dangerous moment because the weakness that they've shown in the House, you wonder, not too hard, but like, how are they going to get the government funded by November 17th? So he said they're going to do a short term, what's called the CR, the funding thing, and maybe kick it into January, punt it into the next year. But at some point, they're going to try to align their extremist point of view with the reality that they have to govern. And just like previously, they'll fail.
Yeah.
Right. Like the thing that took McCarthy down was that the extremist ideology that he wrote into his budget proposal, a 30% cut to the Social Security Administration, 30% cut across the board.
Wow.
To the government. That destroys the government, right? Like no more Social Security for people. They know that's not actually possible. So McCarthy did what the only thing that he could do, which was fund the government. And then, you know, the extremist MAGA right threw him out of office for that. I shed no tears for McCarthy. That man is absolutely an extremist himself. But they haven't solved that problem. You know what I mean? They haven't even kicked the can down the road. Is there a metaphor for this, Rick? What's it called when you're floundering and you just like throw, you know, you're digging yourself deeper in a hole and pulling the dirt in on top of you? There's no way they're going to be able to square this circle. And it's completely out of step with the majority of Americans.
And that's what that's the only hope that I have in this, that we're going to pay attention to what comes out of this House and how extreme it is. And the majority of people are going to turn them away in 2024, even with all of the gerrymandering and the rigging of states and all of that. The hope is that the sane, there might be some sane, rational Republican voters left who want to keep Social Security, because you're right. Johnson wants to, he's the enemy of Social Security. And that comes with all of this stuff. As you guys pointed out in your release today, raising the retirement age, you know, decimating middle-class benefits, making annual cost of living increases smaller, moving towards privatization. Again, that's back on the table, which, didn't we learn our lesson already on the privatization nonsense?
So I think you know, fortunately or unfortunately, I think it's unfortunately the way our system works is so rigged. But in this instance, you said a majority of people, and you know, for like presidential, it's not a majority, because the majority of people already rejected. It's just, you know, the great compromise in setting up this country to create the Senate to protect slave owners, gave two senators from states that have almost nobody in them the same power as the two senators from the most populous states. So it's not about a majority. We know that a majority of Americans absolutely disagree with the things that Mike Johnson says, forcing women to give birth, criminalizing women who get an abortion, meaning sending them to prison. These are things that this man has said.
And not just to prison, Alex, but hard labor.
Hard
for
labor.
1 to 10 years and fines from $10,000 to $100,000. He's very proud of his state for doing that.
And what he is, but who he is alienating, this is my opinion. This is, I mean, like, I look at this and I'm like, look, there are a swath of voters who I don't totally understand with my head. Like, I can't put myself in their shoes that often, but it is generally people are really busy and there's a ton of propaganda. And there's a huge, not huge, there's a very small number of voters in like purple or suburban districts who do have a tendency to go back and forth. They're the swing voters, right? Right. And they're not, that is not who these swing voters are. They're confused about who's on whose side. And we've seen it time and again. In polling, yes, but really it's in election results that Roe v. Wade, overturning Roe v. Wade, deeply unpopular, and it really pushes turnout. I mean, we saw that in Ohio, a super confusing ballot initiative, and it got smoked because the people understood what's at stake with these extremists. That's who he has no chance of connecting to. Nobody. So that is abundantly clear. You pile on top of that the fact that he wants to destroy Social Security, and now you're driving the same sort of depressed turnout. That's wrong. I'm sorry. It wasn't depressing turnout. It was seniors still voted. Seniors vote, as you know, just like in every single election. But they switched against Trump. And that, you know, there's so many things you could say actually did it. But that movement of senior voters, not to be a majority of them, but just they lost, you know, when you lose a voter and they go to the other side, that's two votes. One, you lost one and your opponent gained one.
Right.
That's what's going to, we're going to make sure every single Biden district Republicans who are elected in districts that Biden won, there's 18 of them, We're going to make sure that every single person in those districts knows that these so-called moderates pulled the lever for an avowed extremist. You know, that's who they elected as their leader. You also, at the top, you laid out this guy, he doesn't have a Rolodex. Like, they're all going to try to give him their Rolodex, meaning his fundraising prowess for the entire caucus. My other opinion is that many of the donors, the Republican donors, are going to write off the House.
Yeah.
They're going to actually focus on the Senate and the White House because the House has been just so chaotic. And it just doesn't seem as sure of a thing. The Senate map for the Democrats is really hard.
Yeah.
So I see them pouring money into the Senate. And, you know, we're going to make sure that everyone knows that all the Republicans want to cut Social Security. It's not some of them. It's all of them.
You're absolutely right. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show. We're with Alex Lawson. Alex is the executive director of Social Security Works. SocialSecurityWorks.org is the website if you want to check out the work that they do. I got to get your thoughts on this. Representative Tony Gonzalez tweeted out about Mike Johnson. He said, Mike Johnson and I both represent two of the poorest districts in the country, but the richest in the values held by the great people of Texas 23 and Louisiana 4. He says, I look forward to working with him to help secure the southern border as our next speaker. What is he talking about? Is he promoting the fact that that they represent the poorest people in the country and have done absolutely nothing to help them, especially on the day when the census comes out with the fact that food insecurity in this country has risen sharply and that millions of people go to bed hungry every night in this country and probably a lot in their district? I'm confused at what Mr. Gonzalez here is trying to say.
Yeah, I think a lot of what people try to say in that vein is, you know, don't pay attention to the fact that you're poor and these billionaires have been robbing you with our help for decades. Let's focus on this other thing, in this case, the border, right? It's just a deflection. It's sad. And I do think that the Democrats have to do a better job of really understanding that even playing on that turf is a loser's game, right? Like the same thing as the commission that Johnson has proposed, that Jody Arrington, you know, held a hearing on. This is the long held dream of the Republicans. And too often the Democrats want to talk about it as if it's like real policy or something. And it's not. It's not real policy. It's just a way of robbing people of their Social Security benefits so that their rich, ultra wealthy don't have to pay their fair share in taxes. So it really always comes down to the same thing, right? If you are not going to improve the lives of the people who you represent by challenging the billionaire class and the ultra wealthy, then the only playbook there is incomprehensible gobbledygook, which politicians also are really good at, and finger pointing at somebody else, when the actual problem is abundantly clear. The problem is billionaires. We've got a billionaire problem. That's the problem. And the antidote to the problem is solidarity. It's getting organized. It's standing together, like the UAW is right now showing that when workers stand together, we can see headlines that are more in line, instead of, you know, record profits, meaning yachts for CEOs, record profits means that workers have record wages. That's how it did. The CEOs didn't make the profits. The workers did.
See, this is how you save Social Security and Medicare. To me, it seems very simple. You know, you've got these UAW members who are now going to make upwards of more than $40 an hour at the top rate, starting wage over $28 an hour. That means more money going into Social Security and Medicare. That seems to me like a good idea. Help distribute the money to the people who earn it, to the people who work for it. And the systems will be fine. What's happened over the years is we've stagnated and declined wages so badly and destroyed benefits to the point where, yeah, there are some problems, but you don't destroy the whole system because of problems that were created by our billionaire class. You make them pay.
Yeah, and just to put a little bit of a finer point on it, the problem is the billionaires. If they didn't hoover up all of the productivity gains, right? I'm sure people have seen the graph, but our productivity as workers keeps going up, but the wages haven't kept pace with that. And it's in direct proportion to union density. So when unions are strong, the productivity gains go to the workers in the form of wages, higher wages. The system works perfectly then. When the billionaires corrupt the system and hoover up all of the money outside of the system, outside of the Social Security system, outside of the income tax system, an army of lawyers to hide their ill-gotten gains in offshore accounts and things of that nature, that's what makes any sort of system creaky. So the solution to the problem is just make the billionaires, when it comes to Social Security, pay the same rate on all of their income, just like the rest of us do. That's all that we're saying, is just get the ultra wealthy to pay in on 100% of their income, both earned and unearned income. Put that army of lawyers out of business. The problem is the billionaires. So the solution has to be make the billionaires play by the rules. Yep. The workers who are playing by the rules, that's not who you hurt by stealing their benefits for the problems caused by the billionaires. And that's the stakes. That's what's going on here. And Mike Johnson is firmly on the side of the billionaires. He's saying, my guys, my ultra wealthy, the guys who call the shots, they don't want to pay more in taxes, so we're going to cut your Social Security. They've been doing this for a while, Rick, but I've been doing this for a while too. So I'm confident. I'm taking the fight to them. This is deeply unpopular, and we need the American people to understand that that's what's going on. It's as simple as that.
SocialSecurityWorks.org, the website, if you want to check out the work that Alex and his crew does over at Social Security Works, SocialSecurityWorks.org. Alex, always great talking with you. I appreciate the time. Keep up the great work. Keep up the fight, and I look forward to talking to you again real soon.
Thanks, Rick.
Our good friend Alex Lawson. I want to hear your thoughts. Email me, rick@therickSmithShow.com. Going to take a quick break. Right back with your thoughts after this. Stick around. You listen to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk.
Phone lines are open. Give Rick a call at 1-866-416-RICK. That's 1-866-416-7425.
I'm Rick Smith, and this is Labor History in 2. On this day in labor history, the year was 1990. That was the day that 8 of the 10 unions at the New York Daily News went out on strike. The paper had one of the highest daily circulations in the United States. The New York Daily News was owned by the Chicago-based Tribune Company. The strike began when management demanded major concessions from the delivery drivers, essentially forcing them out on strike. 7 more unions joined them on the picket line. In retaliation, management brought in scab labor. This caused the 9th union to join the walkout. The Newspaper Guild workers had planned to honor the picket lines, but not go on strike themselves. But according to an article in the Los Angeles Times, quote, said local guild president Barry Lipton, the editorial employees decided almost immediately at an afternoon meeting to go on strike rather than to work with any imported scabs and goons. Well-known journalist Juan Gonzalez was a strike leader for the local. By using replacement workers, Daily News management was able to keep the paper in production, but they found it much more difficult to get the paper distributed. Even where they could make delivery, many newsstands refused to sell the struck paper. The New York Times blamed this on intimidation from the delivery drivers. But they also acknowledged that some refused distribution either out of sympathy for strikers or an unwillingness to offend pro-union customers. To support the strike, the unions put on a concert headlined by Lou Reed, along with Pete Seeger, Q-Tip from A Tribe Called Quest, and other musicians. The strike lasted for 5 months, prompting the Tribune to sell the paper. Under new management, the strike was finally settled. Labor History in 2 brought to you by the Illinois Labor History Society and The Rick Smith Show. For more information, go to laborhistoryin2.com.
You're listening to The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
It really is quite remarkable when you think about it, what Republicans are willing to say out loud. I mean, really, it's amazing to me that they're now emboldened to say it out loud, as if we, the working class of this country, are going to take our Social Security being stolen from us. And these privatization schemes that they keep saying, well, we'll privatize it. You'll have your own account and it'll be great. You mean like the 401k? You mean that wonderful thing that you sold us back in the 80s that was supposed to make us all millionaires? And the average person in this country has about, I don't know, 18 grand in their 401k? Not nearly enough to retire on. And those defined benefit pensions that workers used to have, that, you know, like my grandparents' generation had, that, you know, helped them live the rest of their golden years with dignity and respect. Those went away. Where'd that money go? Oh, yeah, it went to the pockets of the billionaires. How do you think we created such a large billionaire class? How do you think we went from having, you know, maybe 1-2 billionaires to now over 1,000? And not just 1 billion, but multiple billions, 100 billions. How do you think that happened? Simple. More for them, less for you. And why do you think all of our systems are in trouble? Because wages have stagnated. And not just stagnated, but actually declined when you throw inflation into this. And I know most people don't remember what 30, 40, 50 years was like. I know most people don't remember that the standard of living in this country was actually higher. I know, we couldn't buy so much stuff. We didn't have as many options back then. And maybe that was a good thing too, but one income could support a family. One income. And not just, you know, bare minimum, bare sustenance, just getting by, actually supporting a family, taking vacations, buying a new car every couple of years, sending kids to college, you know, all of those things, vacations, you know, which most people don't even know what that means anymore. Because what used to be a living wage has now turned into a desperation wage. Most people I talk to, they're just struggling to get by. Just making ends meet. Just making sure that the owners are paid back. And the question is when do we say enough is enough? When do we stop with all of the horse race politics and the divisive, you know, nonsensical issues that they throw out at us as chum to get us, you know, fighting each other over who knows what, whatever the outrage of the day is. Why isn't the outrage of the day that kids are going to bed hungry? You know, as I said, you know, the poverty rate is childhood poverty rate's gone back up. Thank you, Republicans. Food insecurity rose sharply in 2022. Thank you, Republicans. You know, oh, why are you always blaming the Republicans? Because they're doing it. This is the problem. It's like, you know, someone said to me, well, you know, why are they picking up poor Donald Trump? Because he committed the crimes. If it were you doing those things, you would be standing trial. Why is he different? But the question I have for this new speaker, which messaging bills are you going to be moving forward on? I think it's going to be telling what he comes out with.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK 1260 AM Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News.